This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication. I'm your host, Craig O'Neill. This is the show on the Aftermarket Radio Network focused on our communication, listening, and leadership skills. In our episode today, I'm going to be talking about an educational minute that I delivered in my home Toastmasters club and a general theme that has been pretty consistent in the books I'm reading and the things I'm thinking about and where my mind and heart are all pulling me. Now, I'll say on this show, we talk a lot about communication and leadership skills. And well, sometimes I just have something to say, pulling from recent experiences that I really do hope will help or inspire you on your journey because it's helped me on mine. If you've caught on to some of my themes these past few months, especially, you'll notice that I have spent a lot of time discussing distractions and attention and the importance of being present for those we are with. These musings are interspersed, of course, with some immediately practical topics related to our automotive aftermarket, and all of it is seasoned with some what I hope are communication strategies applicable for just about everyone. You'll have heard me say, though, that sometimes it can be extraordinarily difficult to hear our own thoughts or the positive, usually softer voices in our lives, or especially difficult respecting those gentle tuggings on our soul, those unseen nudges that urge us forward into greater refinement. Our world has not made noticing such things easier. And I've been seeing a repetitive theme in my readings as of late regarding the negative impacts of technology. Now, what astonishes me is how things I have been paying attention to, how they take a long time to make sense. And once they do, suddenly you're making connections just about everywhere you go. Like you suddenly realize there's this song playing and the lyrics are describing you. And it's just like that sometimes. And it's why I love to read. And it's why I love seeing the references of the things I'm reading echoed in all sorts of other areas. I'm going to tell you, this episode's semi-story shared experience here ends with me taking the next logical step to my Irish goodbye on Facebook. I've talked about that in a few previous episodes here. An Irish goodbye, for those that maybe aren't aware, is when you just don't say anything about leaving an event or a party and you just leave. The next step for me, though, in this was actually deleting my Facebook account. Pretty significant choice, considering I stay in touch with a lot of you out there on Facebook. That doesn't mean I won't be staying in touch. I'll have some other avenues here, and of course, this show and reaching out to me in more personalized communication, always welcome. And I'm still on LinkedIn. But hey, it takes like 30 days, I guess, to delete a Facebook account anyway. It hasn't been completed yet. Don't be alarmed if I'm not your friend anymore. It's not because I unfriended you. It's I deleted my account. So I did want you to know that. Every episode also has a word of the day. The word of the day today is puerile. I will spell that for you and define that word for you after we hear a brief word from our sponsors who make this show possible, make this journey possible. Really appreciate everyone that sponsors. Thank you. Looking for something meaningful? The Institute's coaching helps you leave a legacy, empower your team, and contribute to your community. Discover more at weartheinstitute.com/business-assessment. Autoflow is your partner in technology. With Autoflow, enhance your client interactions in a single thread, before, during, and after the visit. To see how Autoflow makes it simple, visit autoflow.com. Your trusted companion, Shop Dog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call Shop Dog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com. Unlock your communication insights with Inbound's AI-powered call analytics for auto repair shops. Learn more at callinbound.com. Are you passing along credit card fees to your customers? No one likes that. Express is the only 0% fee alternative to credit card surcharging. Visit myexpress.io. Okay, we're back. And the word of the day today is puerile. And I think I'm saying that right. There's a couple older English pronunciations as I researched how to say this right for this episode. I read it in a book. I had to look it up because it wasn't a word I had seen enough recently. I thought I had a good idea of what it is. Wasn't what I thought it was. The word actually means childish or silly. And again, the word is puerile, and that's spelled P-U-E-R-I-L-E. It's an adjective for being childish or silly. There's a French pronunciation for it too, and I'm pretty sure if I get it right, it's something like, Pierre. No, that's not how it goes. I'm sorry. That was childish and silly, very puerile. But hey, interesting word. I'll explain why I wanted to choose that word here, not just because I read it recently, but there's an experience that I had on a recent walk, a 5-mile walk that I had. Before I get to that, I want to also share what I spoke to in an educational minute in my local Toastmasters club. This was actually last night for me, about a week from the point that you're hearing this episode. But this educational minute pulls on a theme that you would be familiar with here on the show. So I'm going to go into that just a moment here and describe you out. It won't be verbatim, but, and I'm going to go into a little more detail than the educational minute, which is more like educational 5 minutes in the time frame that I had in my club meeting. But I'm just going to explain right now. In my educational minute, it pretty much began like this. A theme has been repeating in my readings of late, a theme that has made me more alert to, well, alerts and notifications, and specifically the negative impacts of technology in our lives. Now, one book that I've been reading lately is an old C.S. Lewis classic called The Screwtape Letters. I've never read it, heard about it a lot. It's in big book of classics from C.S. Lewis. A phrase popped out in chapter one. Before I jump into that phrase, I'll say that for those of you who aren't familiar with The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, it's a fictional story, if you will, not even a story. It's more of a fictional collection of letters from like this senior devil to his nephew, who's a junior tempter. And this is basically one senior devil giving another devil strategies to distract humans from the important things, right? And this is a little bit theological at times, but it really does a fantastic job, regardless of where your thoughts are coming from, describing the human condition. And I think it's insanely cool to be reading this. And there's a lot of things that are echoing some of the thoughts that I've already had that I'm excited to share and some of the later stories, but I'm going to talk about chapter one for you guys today. Chapter one, in this one, it's this devil's writing to his nephew regarding how he shouldn't take joy in the fact that his patient, the term patient is used for the person this devil is tempting. You shouldn't take joy in your patient arguing. Arguing will cause the patient to start to, and I'll read the quote here, you'll find that you have been strengthening in your patient the fatal habit of attending to universal issues and withdrawing his attention from the stream of immediate sense experiences. Your business is to fix his attention on the stream. Teach him to call it real life and don't let him ask what he means by real. All right, so the phrase that just leapt off the page in my mind here is, I just thought there's such a brilliant phrase. It's the end of the quote, by the way. The phrase I really liked was the stream of immediate sense experiences. Now, C.S. Lewis is writing these fictional letters in 1940, 41, 42, it was published. So World War II is going on. He's from Cambridge. He's in England. The time frame, this stream of immediate sense experiences, what does that entail? Wartime stuff is one thing, but he was writing the book not specifically to wartime issues only, although it does service in the book. I mean, the description that the devil in this book gives is how when this person started arguing before about or started having a deep thought about something, his strategy was to simply remind his patient that it's about lunchtime. Maybe we'll come back to this idea after lunch, a sense experience of hunger. Using that. And then, of course, once that person was distracted with the hunger and had made the decision to go and get lunch, he's gone down onto the street now. Here is a newsboy call, has a newspaper in his hand now, and sees the bus, and he's off and on his way, thinking whatever he was thinking was just silly stuff that shouldn't even be bothering with on an empty stomach. 1940's stream of experience is very different than the stream of experiences today. So I'll fast forward to our time from another author who I've quoted before back in episode, it would have been episode 39, The War on Notifications. That's worth going back on if you haven't heard that one before. But I quote Johan Hari in that one. Johan Hari in his book, Stolen Focus. The subtitle for Stolen Focus, by the way, is Why We Can't Pay Attention and How to Think Deeply Again. You can see how these themes in my readings are starting to really make some sense here. But the quote in Johann Hari's book goes like this. He's describing notifications and interruptions. He says, all this frenetic digital interruption is pulling our attention away from our thoughts. And I think we're almost in this constant stimulus-driven, stimulus-bound environment, moving from one distraction to the next. If you don't remove yourself from that, it will suppress whatever train of thought you had. Hey, folks, book written very recently about our modern times and a book written with even fictional elements of the human condition from the 1940s. I think to see that that same dream, that same logic is in there, well, I think we should listen to that for a second. And that's exactly where my mind went and why I wanted to share this episode today. So now back to the educational minute I was delivering in my Toastmasters book. I really just wanted to draw attention to, you have something from the past, using the word stream, by the way, before we ever used it for streaming, like on YouTube or other thing, I just think is really fascinating. But both Lewis and Hari would agree with this. Whatever the distractions you're experiencing, be it by real devils or by real big tech, it is by design. And those distractions need to be combated in some form or fashion. And we don't want to give all of our energy into the things that would easily distract us. It would take a tremendously strong person, stronger than me. I'll tell you right now, Facebook, yeah, maybe some of you are real great and you can handle it and stuff. I'm sorry. I have a high degree of resilience to interruption and I cannot. I found myself getting sucked into it. I avoided reels or ever clicking on one of those for ages. And then suddenly I clicked on a baseball replay and then all of a sudden the algorithm knows me and I'm going to watch these cool baseball replays, that and Seinfeld rerun up little clips. My gosh. And then all of a sudden you've just spent 15 minutes when you only wanted to check a message from one person about one thing or see what's going on in so-and-so's life on this major important thing that they're going on. It's too much. So my advice in my educational minute for my Toastmasters Club was the same advice I was giving in episode 39. Just to turn off notifications. And I gave some practical tips on that for our Toastmaster members in my local club. Now, my advice for those of you today, I mean, it isn't just delete Facebook. You might have some practical purposes to be there, and I totally get that. I can do that. We have a marketing team with Autoflow. I have guys that will post our stuff on there, and it's great. When there's a marketing team that's working on getting the message out on other important things for you, it's a little easier to say, yeah, I'm done there. But we still have to advertise there. Then it feels all hypocritical and all the things. Guys, I get it. It's a tear. It really is a hard choice to make. Imagine taking on each day with a team that cares about doing more. They're motivated, skilled, humble, and hungry. They're invested in your shop's success because that success helps them do more than just sell jobs and fix cars. At the Institute, we believe a thriving business is built on its people. Our comprehensive coaching and peer groups help you become a leader who is capable. Capable of inspiring your employees to reach new heights, capable to deliver exceptional customer service, and capable to grow your business into a respected pillar of your community. Start your legacy at weareTheInstitute.com/business-assessment. Hey friends, as you know, I'm a proud member of the Autoflow team, and let me tell you, we've changed how business is done for auto shops everywhere. We support your client experience before, during, and after the work is done. Imagine this: timely updates sent directly to your clients, branded digital vehicle inspections, and seamless communication from start to finish. That's why shops love Autoflow. And hey, with those 5-star reviews rolling in, you'll wonder how you ever managed without us. Take an important next step and take your auto shop to the next level. Visit www.autoflow.com. Get on board with an Autoflow trial. Looking to drive more customers to your auto repair shop? Trust ShopDog Marketing to be your reliable companion with AI-powered customer-first marketing, websites, and high-ranking local search. Maximize your reach with our mobile-first and voice search expertise. Car counts are like ice cream. Sweeten your revenue with ShopDog Marketing. Grab our free guide to learn how AI can drive more repair orders every day. Don't miss out on this chance to boost your business. Visit ShopDogMarketing.com. Inbound has exclusively served independent auto repair shops with expert communication solutions for years. Now, our robust VoIP platform ensures you stay connected while our industry-leading AI analytics take your business to the next level. We provide the tools you need to understand your customers and optimize every interaction. Choose Inbound. For proven expertise and unmatched innovation, visit callinbound.com and discover the difference we can make. Credit card surcharging sounds effective, but is this single most damaging action to your shop in the last decade? If you're surcharging, you're tarnishing your reputation and losing customers as we speak. Express is the only 0% fee option to surcharging that your customers already know how to use. No tricks, no hidden fees, just a smarter way for auto shops to keep what's yours and do right by your customers. Book a free consultation with Express today by visiting myexpress.io and see how the most successful shops in the country are flipping the script on credit card processors. I'll say this regarding social media. I'll connect it with something that a psychologist was speaking about. My wife and I attended a lecture up the street at a school where they're talking about cell phone uses in school and other things, and among other things, just the proper ages to let kids have phones and access social media and everything else. The smartphone issue, one of the common things that we hear is there's this fear of missing out. Like, you know what's going to happen, especially those of you with kids who've already been through this like I have. The kids start, well, so-and-so's got a phone. They have a phone. I'm the only one that doesn't have a phone. Ah. Right. And you can explain how our family's doing things different and all that all you want. That's still constantly an issue. Same issue with Facebook, leaving it's hard because so many of our friends are there. Well, what this lady was describing in her lectures, it just needs momentum. And that momentum really starts to kick in when about 30% of the people make a decision not to give their kids phone in her case. But I think that there's going to be a similar type of momentum thing. And I think it's already been starting for a while. I don't think I'm one of the earliest. I definitely don't think I'm one of the last to recognize that, hey, in this AI era, Facebook especially, is really garbage. And is truly, from a marketing standpoint too, a lot of the clicks that end up happening are quite easily recognized to be bots. So a lot of garbage out there. And that garbage, again, a bit more by design. Now, I wanted to mention this in the context of design a little bit, because my recent walk that I was on, I was up in Traverse City with my wife for another art show. There was this great spot. It was the Brown Bridge Quiet area. I've never been to this before. I'm not super familiar with the area a little south of Traverse City. We're usually over a little bit more towards the west and up in Leland in that area. I'll point on my hand on the map. Traverse City, Little Fingers. Yeah, we're usually over there towards the right, left side of your hand if your right palm's facing you. Anyways, you can look up a map. Point is, Brown Bridge Quiet Area sounds like exactly the thing I want. I feel this constant pull into nature, doing hard things. You've heard me talk about rucking before. So I loaded up my pack with a bunch of different stuff. Actually, it was going to be a 5-mile trail in this particular day. I had a bunch of other gear that I was practicing different carrying methods with, a kit that I have with, oh, it's got a hatchet, it's got Leatherman, it's got extra water, a metal can for water, and also a couple of extra plastic bottles of water. I don't know, there's probably about 3 liters close to, and then combined with all the other weight. This pack wet was about just shy 50 pounds. I think it was 46.8, and when I didn't have one of the water bottles in or so. Yeah, anyways, a heavier pack than I normally would go with. And the idea was to just go and have a quiet time, stay out as long as I wanted to, had extra clothes if I needed to, or if it got wet. And when I arrived at the trailhead, what does it start doing? Well, remember I mentioned I'm up there for an art show with my wife. If you heard the recent story a few episodes back on what happens on art shows, it rains, folks. It rains. Fortunately, I'm a little south of the art show. It poured on me. It started raining right as I got to the trailhead. So I pop my rain jacket on, and the whole first mile and a half, it's just pouring rain on this walk. Beautiful trail, wooded trail in this area. And yes, quiet. So a quiet walk in the rain, no problem. I'm enjoying it. No earbuds, nothing. And by the way, I also quit tracking my distances on most things. So I don't really track my miles or my pace anymore. I just go and try to enjoy things in nature. It's really been great, by the way. So I came across, finally, it stops raining. There's the river. It's a Boardman River. And man, after the rain stopped and it's just starting to get warm enough too, I was like, man, maybe I should go swimming. Felt like I should just dip in that river. And I did. Took the shirt off, kept pants on, and just laid down in this stream. And it was cold, but it was so refreshing. felt a little puerile, kind of wading into the river and laying down. And there's more people on the trail by this point too, but I did anyways, and I'm used to that. It was freezing cold. You cold plungers would really dig it in northern Michigan, by the way. Absolutely worth your time. They're just super clean water too. It was great. Then I'm sitting there. The other thing I had in my backpack was C.S. Lewis stuff. So I'm sitting there reading by the stream after the swim for a little bit, and I had to. It was actually a decision like, man, I forgot the book was in the bag, but it got a little wet in the rain because the bag's water resistant, not waterproof, and I felt bad. Now the book's a little bit weathered. If you're watching on YouTube here, I'm holding up my book and you can see some the water damage on the side. It's a newer book, but it has this old look to it now, which is actually kind of cool for a classic. Anyways, had to just read a little bit in there. Anyway, finished that part of the walk and I got to this large clearing, and then I noticed there's this big overlook on another part of the trail. So I decided to backtrack a little bit, do this climb. It was a good climb, lots of steps with the pack. It was really good for the fitness element. Made it up to this overlook. And that's when I realized that this entire area that I had been walking in used to be under water. Used to be underwater. This Boardman River used to be dammed. I didn't know this history in the area in my own state. It's a good 3 hours away almost from Grand Rapids. So 2.5 hours anyways. But the Boardman River had been dammed. There's a series, I think, of three dams along the way there. And it was actually 2012 when this first dam, I think, was started to be removed. And it's basically been a little over 10 years now. And I started to look around differently and realize like, oh yeah. No, those were young trees down in that lower section. That creek I was laying in, that was the river. That would have been the bottom of this very large retaining pond. And there's all kinds of reasons why they restored it back to what it is. And it was a huge project. There's some amazing stuff on this project. But I was thinking about it, just how the issues with sediment and everything else backing up on this river the whole time, and the other reasons why there's some native tribes in the area. That river is a long legacy in their tribes. They wanted it restored too, and lots of reasons. And it's just absolutely astonishing, beautiful to see this restoration after this dam, after this thing blocking the water was removed, and the new life that was coming from it. And it was just so cool to have walked through it unaware of that history, and then climbing up above it and looking down and seeing it. And that's just where my mind went as I thought of things by design, be it distractions or be it restoration. We are not limited to do the thing that it was designed for. We can change the design and we can change our decisions with all of these things. And the new life that comes from those types of decisions, I think those are the nudges that we're feeling, those softer, more positive voices that we should be listening to, where I think your thoughts might even be found. And I have to encourage you to try and find some experiences like that yourself. Unplug, even just temporarily. You don't have to take the big step to delete Facebook or whatever it is, but I guarantee you it wouldn't be hard to look at what you're doing on a regular basis, what's pulling your thoughts away from the important things or the things you feel you should be doing. Listen, lean into those and get out there. And it might take a couple of years. I've been on this journey for 6 years. I've been doing Toastmasters, and obviously a lot longer than that inside of this industry. And even now, just new things constantly are making sense, but it always starts with doing something different and doing something that's hard. So it might feel silly at first, maybe even a little puerile, but I hope you'll take the advice. Lean in, listen to the softer things, try to remove some of the distractions from your life, and don't fear missing out on all the noise and the hustle and the bustle. And if anything, you might be missing out on some really cool history in your local area too. Go out there and find it. So hey, folks, I hope this is inspiring for you. I have so many other things I shoot. There's the lyrics on a song, and I was driving home. I'm a big Cat Stevens fan, especially his older classics. And there's actually in 2020, some of you who know Cat Stevens, I'm pretty sure my audience is of age where we respect that generation of music very much. The classic On the Road to Find Out. It's on the album Tea for the Tiller Man. I didn't even realize this while I was on a longer hike at one point with earbuds in. I do that sometimes still. And Tea for the Tiller Man, he did a second album in 2020. And the rewrite of On the Road to Find Out has this sort of bluesy beat to it. If you have never listened to blues music, by the way, I had a good technician in our shop that got us all interested in blues and Eric Clapton and all kinds of good stuff. And man, once you get a blues beat in your head, you're going to chill out real easy and things slow down real nice. You can use some technology still to do that stuff too. It's not all bad, folks. But man, there's just some of the lyrics on there were so good. You just pick it up and listen to it if you haven't listened to that in a long time. On the Road to Find Out by Cat Stevens. I'll tell you the last refrain that's repeated three times. It's always a good communication strategy, by the way. See, we always season these things with communication tips. The last refrain goes like this. Yes, the answer lies within. So why not take a look now? Kick out the devil's sin. Pick up a good book now. Ah, such a good lyric. So I hope you do the same. Get out there. Kick out the devil's sin. The Screwtape Letters is a fun read, by the way, if you haven't picked that one up. And yeah, it's a good book to pick up. So wonderful. All right, folks, something to add, anything you're curious about, as always, please feel free to reach out. I love hearing from you. Email me here at speakup@craigoneal.net. Any cool things that have been a theme in your life, I'd love to hear about it. I'd love to have a conversation with you about it. And perhaps we even do that right here. speakup@craigoneal.net. Appreciate hearing from you on anything. And of course, please remember, listen up to the other shows on the Aftermarket Radio Network. We have Remarkable Results Radio with Carm Capriato, also the namesake for our Remarkable Results Toastmasters Club meeting online the first and third Thursdays each month. Then, of course, Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z with Matt Fonzo, a man who I love to pick on and likes to pick on me. And it's because he knows my brother, and we will do an episode with him and my brother someday. I promise this. Then Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demers. We've had him on the show. Wonderful man. The Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Brian and Kim Walker. I've been a guest on theirs. I need to have them here. I will see them at the Mars Intensive put on by the Institute. That'll be in September. That's coming up. That's less than a month away as of today. Wow. That's going to be great to see everybody there. And then, of course, the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton. Shoot, last time I saw Chris was at Vision. We've had a conversation since then, though. We need to get together with Chris. All right. Anyway, thank you so much to our sponsors. Thank you, our loyal listeners, for joining us today. Now get out there, listen up, speak up, pick up a good book now. Thank you.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Craig on your favorite podcast listening app and on his YouTube channel. Let him know what you'd like him to speak up about. Craig is all for advancing the automotive service aftermarket.